He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
And how are you feeling today, Trace?
I'm feeling pretty good because it's a beautiful day.
I love the summer.
Mm-hmm. And I actually sat on our balcony and got a little bit of a tan on my face. Well, some sun on my face. And I know, oh my gosh, you're not supposed to do that. But only for, what, 5 minutes?
Well, since we've moved, and now the Institute has this beautiful, fantastic new location on top of Burnaby Mountain, overlooking what seems like all of British Columbia. But what a fantastic
view. You know what gets me, though, is the fact that it's always a gorgeous day until we invite somebody over. And when we invite somebody over, it's
well, that's Murphy's Law in action.
I don't think anybody believes us that we have a nice view.
Oh, we do, though. And now I know, and of course, I think that I've always felt this way, why people will pay so much for a view.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about a view anyway? It's kind of like mesmerizing. It's soft and gentle on the mind. You can look into the view and almost lose yourself.
Right.
And it's a form of relaxation.
Like I can breathe. I feel like I can really breathe.
Looking out over the ocean, at the mountains, at this spectacular vista of nature.
That's right.
It's soothing to the soul. So for all you people that are looking at a cement wall.
Too bad.
I would recommend highly, just for your health, that you consider a home with a view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dear. So this is He Said, She Said. Let's get with it.
That's right. This is our 50th issue, isn't it?
This is Big 5-0.
That's right. The Big 5-0, which soon both of us will be the Big 5-0.
I know, and I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah,
it's funny. You know, I speak to people about aging, and they're terrified of getting older.
I know. And then there's women that don't even want to tell you their age. I'm like, what's the big deal?
Well, there's hang-ups inside that connect to other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But be proud of your age. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of your state. You can't change it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
you can change your state, I think.
Well, you can change your state. You can't change your age.
No, you can't change your age.
You know, you've been alive for so long. Accept it. Embrace it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's cooking?
What's cooking is air-popped popcorn. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my gosh. Did I strike a chord with you?
Well, that's my middle name. Polly Popcorn. I was raised in the stuff.
I know. And popcorn is a very popular snacking food amongst North Americans. So what's the first thing you smell when you walk into a movie theater?
Popcorn.
No doubt. And what's the first thing you want to do when you smell that smell?
I know. So I just thought I'd mention the talk about popcorn because this is something you have on occasion in the evenings. Air-popped popcorn.
Let's be specific about the popcorn.
Exactly.
Because it is a snack that I do like.
Yes.
And let's get into breaking it down.
You and many other people that I know love it. Now, for me, once I get started, I find it hard to stop. But I can stop myself because I find it really gets in my teeth. I have a whole meal the next day just in my teeth. So, I mean, that will stop me from eating it. Even corn on the cob, it stops me from eating it because it does get in my teeth. And as we age, stuff gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, but you know what I found out?
What?
That chewing popcorn, sugar-free popcorn, that is recommended by dentists worldwide as it has a cleansing effect. And it's an ideal snack. And it's a good substitute for bread in the diet. It actually cleanses the teeth when you chew it.
Mm.
But this is sugar-free non-adulterated popcorn.
Right. Well, one of the things, popcorn or popping corn is a type of maize, which is a cereal grain, which puffs up when it's heated in oil or by dry heat. There's special varieties of corn that are grown to give improved popping yield. Some wild types will pop, but there's a cultivated strain, which is a special kind of flint corn. And very interesting, do you know how far back that popcorn goes? It was first developed in the pre-Columbian Native Americans thousands of years ago. And in 1948, popcorn ears dating back 5,600 years were discovered in the bat caves in New Mexico. So this is a really old snack.
Well, I think it ties in with the Native American Indians eating maize. And somehow, I did some research on the net. I don't know if they know exactly who discovered popcorn, but someone probably dropped an ear of corn that was dried out close to the flame, and it popped.
Right.
And someone discovered and saw that, maybe tried it out, and hence popcorn was invented.
Exactly. So Popcorn is about 31 calories per cup unbuttered, and it's a really good source of fiber. It has no preservatives, no artificial flavors, and it's sugar-free. Popcorn is definitely pleasing to the palate and can have added to it many seasonings, butter, spices. And the popcorn that we have in the evening, we buy the Orville Redenbacher's hot air popcorn, and we add ghee, which we all know, ghee, and sea salt, and it makes a really great nutritional snack. And it's
now, let's compare that to the popcorn that I was raised on as a kid, where we used to fry those kernels in oil.
Yeah.
And looking at the stats here, it one cup of vegetable oil popped popcorn has a significant amount of fat, 3 grams of fat in a cup compared to zero in the air-popped popcorn. Now, when you pour ghee, you're pouring on a clean, non-degraded form of clarified butter.
Well, it's healthful, too.
Well, it's an excellent an excellent fuel for athletes.
Yes.
Now, you need to have a demand for fuel when you supply fuel to a person or in your diet. You need to have the demand for the fuel. But when you have a demand for fuel, if you supply clean fuel, you have more energy potential.
So it's a good carbohydrate snack.
Yeah, and what I like to do is always, as a rule, have a protein shake at nighttime before I go to bed. But before I have a snack, like if I'm going to have popcorn, I will have my shake, which has like 60 grams of protein, the essential omega-3 fats, low glycemic blueberries, you know, and all the vitamins and minerals and powders added into it. Now, I take that in, take my vitamins, and then I have a snack.
And that's why I'm talking about it this morning, is because that's what we had last night. We had a protein shake first, and then we had the popcorn.
Right.
But the only thing I must admit about having popcorn in the house is that I always know when I wake up in the morning, if I go to bed before Corey, I always know he's had popcorn because it's everywhere. I don't know how you can get popcorn when you're sitting in the chair through the bathroom, in the living room, in the den. How do you get it everywhere?
Well, there's a special art involved in the distribution of popcorn.
No kidding.
Fetter on the floor, in the couch, and in the sleeves.
My goodness.
But it is a talent that I developed over time. Now, here's some interesting data on popcorn.
All
it has a glycemic index of about 55 to 89, depending upon which chart you look at. In other words, it has a medium to a high glycemic index. So, on its own, without butter, it's going to flood that bloodstream. It's going to drive insulin through the roof. Not an ideal thing to do at nighttime before you go to bed. And of course, if I was on a diet for a bodybuilding show, there's no way I'd be eating popcorn.
No, I know that.
So to keep the body fat in the area that's ideal, you have to modify your carbohydrate intake. When you add ghee to the popcorn, it modifies or reduces the glycemic index. So the release of sugar from the carbs, the glucose ultimately made from the popcorn, is slower into the bloodstream. That's why you want to add some ghee to the popcorn and not just eat it on its own, unless you're on a very restricted diet and have some other means of combining protein and fats with the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So we've also added ghee and Enjuvita yeast. Now that makes it taste kind of cheesy. Can you maybe just talk a little bit about the Enjuvita yeast?
Well, it's produced specifically for human consumption, and it's grown from a strain of Saccharomyces. It's a strain of yeast. Yeah, I know. It's like from the planet Klingon.
Keep it simple, will you?
But Enjuvita is very nourishing. It's incredibly strong in B-complex vitamins. As a matter of fact, in 100 grams of Enjuvita yeast, there are 20 milligrams of riboflavin, 120 milligrams of niacin. Like, the stuff is packed full of pantothenic acid and inositol. The sodium to potassium ratio is incredible. You can alkalize your popcorn by putting Enjuvita yeast on it. So the potassium quantity is very, very strong in Enjuvita. And protein, it's got 46 grams of protein, 35 grams of carbs, very little fat in 100 grams. So it's protein dominant, and it's blended, packed full of B vitamins. This is a nice way to reinforce the popcorn.
Well, what you're doing is you're having a healthy snack that's good for you. It has nutritional value for you. So if you're into popcorn, try some air-popped popcorn. Get you go out. I just bought the twins for Christmas time because they love their popcorn, Lisa said. And so I went out and I bought them an air popper with some nice organic popping corn. Now, you got to be careful with some of the popcorns because even though it may be organic, it might not pop as full. But we really like the Orville Redenbacher air-popping popping corn. Yeah. But the Angivita yeast with the ghee and also the sea salt or Celtic sea salt.
As opposed to just regular table salt.
It really is delicious, and you don't need a whole lot of it either because the ghee is heavy, and Angivita yeast is heavy, and there you go.
It weights it down with the right stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, don't put a ton of salt on, but remember that sea salt has a medley of minerals from the sea, not just sodium and not just chloride. Mm-hmm. And here's something interesting that I know Aristotle couldn't figure out, so I've got one on him.
Okay.
How does popcorn pop?
Oh, my.
Well, isn't this an interesting question? How many of you out there know exactly what makes a popcorn kernel pop? Well, here's the science. Each kernel of popcorn contains a certain amount of moisture in its starchy endosperm. And unlike other grains, the outer hull of popcorn, which is called the pericarp, is very thick and impervious to moisture. So, like, it's really hard. We all can see the popcorn kernel. It's fairly hard. Like, if you bite into it with your teeth, it's pretty hard to break down.
Yep.
Well, as the kernel is heated past the boiling point, water in the kernel, the moisture in the kernel, begins to steam. And this generates an increase in the internal pressure inside the kernel. And what this does is that the steam is locked inside the kernel because of how tightly sealed in it is. And as the pressure starts to build up, it suddenly ruptures, causing an explosion. And the force of the explosion turns the kernel inside out.
Ooh.
So a piece of popcorn is actually a popcorn kernel that's turned inside out.
Wouldn't you know?
And because the moisture is evenly distributed throughout this starchy endosperm, the sudden expansion turns the endosperm into an airy foam, which gives popcorn its unique texture. Now, here's another bit of trivia. Why don't some of those popcorn kernels pop? Well, we know maybe that because the seeds don't have enough moisture, there's not enough steam to build up and be released to create the explosion. And somebody else, actually a professor at Purdue University, said that the unpopped kernel could have a leaky hull.
Wow.
So there's not enough moisture in some to cause the explosion, and in some others there's a leak.
So the steam wouldn't stay in.
Exactly.
Oh, well, wouldn't you? There you have it, folks.
So the next time your little boy or girl asks you, Daddy, Mommy, how does a popcorn kernel pop? You've got the answer.
Yeah,
just stick on the SNU.
Exactly. Absolutely. So get into popcorn because it's healthy and nutritious.
Yes. And remember that the expansion rate has been measured also.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
There's an actual expansion rate that is used as a measure to describe the popping value of popcorn. And the best one that's known is 40-1, but the average is 30-1.
Oh, wow.
Cool, huh?
Very, very, very cool.
Okay, so that was really cool on popcorn, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's move on and have a discussion about last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Dr. Michael Colgan. And as usual, he is our anniversary special guest, and this was our fifth anniversary. And as you put it, he's very poetic when he describes a technical term, isn't he?
Oh, definitely.
And I like the analogy that he used about the antelope and the elephant comparing the jump with the fibers for stretching.
Yes. Well, talking about dead weight and strength and power, like the elephant obviously is very strong.
Yes.
But I don't know how high it can hop.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let's look at the athletic function and analogy of an athlete hopping, say, or jumping as a high jump athlete, okay, in the sport of track and field. You need that spring. You need that recoil. You need that elasticity. And building that and creating that in the athlete is what Michael's all about in his power program training.
That's where plyometrics comes in.
Oh, for sure.
And then also helping to stretch as well. So I think that's very important, is it kind of brought back that it's really important to stretch, because there's a lot of people in the gym that don't stretch a little bit before, during, and after their workout.
Well, you know what I like to do in my hammer training is do stair hopping upstairs, like two or three or even four at a time.
Right.
And as I get into it over the season, I can do even as many as five, because my recoil, ability increases by the plyometric training. And when you start off swinging the hammer in a circle, you're down low. And as you swing through each successive turn, you're getting a little higher. And then you release with as much power and explosive velocity as you can. So that spring in your step that he talked about that we can keep as we age is what you can create through sport-specific training. And plyometrics, certainly, you know, jumping from one object to the other. And there's all kinds of exercises where you go up and down hills on one leg and backwards. And plyometrics is really a fantastic supplement for training.
It's also about the spring in your step shows your age.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that's what the yoga gurus always talk about, is how youthful is your spine.
Yes.
Right?
And for all those who maybe are on the tip of considering in your mind, definitely go for it. The Colgan Camp in July. It's an experience of a lifetime, especially this year with the new acreage that Michael has been building and with the expansion of his destination resort. So if you do want an exhilarating and motivating experience, check out the camp.
And you'll meet a lot of fascinating individuals.
Oh, absolutely. Just from all over the world.
All over the world, absolutely. So yes. Thank you, Dr. Colgan, for our fifth anniversary special guest interview.
Amen. Okay, so who do we have to look forward to? Who is our next month's special guest, dear?
Next month's special guest is Dr. Zoltan Rona. Dr. Zoltan Rona is a graduate of McGill University Medical School and has a master's degree in biochemistry and clinical nutrition from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. He's the author of three Canadian bestsellers, The Joy of Health, Return to the Joy of Health, and Childhood Illnesses and the Allergy Connection. Also, he co-wrote the complete Candida Yeast Guidebook, and also he's the medical editor of the Benjamin Franklin award-winning Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. So he's going to be a super duper wealth of knowledge, and we really look forward to Dr. Zoltan Rona.
Well, I've known Zoltan for many, many years, and he's a real pioneer in preventive medicine, and he's got a very busy practice in Toronto, and I know he likes tennis, he likes to move his body, and he really respects athletic activity. So that's going to be a great interview, and we're going to derive from him what he knows in relation to the prevention of pathology and disease and how to eat food and live life so that you can live disease-free. Awesome. Coming from a physician who treats people, most of whom, because of his personal interest, also have an interest in preventive medicine. So he's working with more people that are into what we're promoting, as opposed to a regular physician that just kind of sticks with the mainstream. And most people, as we all know, don't train and don't eat a whole food diet. It's interesting to get information from a doctor who spends a lot of time with patients who do follow our ways and to see what kind of health problems they have. So that'll be interesting.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Good stuff. Okay, dear, so let's get right to it. What is your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic this month is exercise your option.
I thought exercise was not an option.
Well, you know, you were talking on the phone doing some business on Friday night, and I happened to come across this program on TV on the Life Network, and it was called, I just happened to run across it, called Sexual Secrets, and it was entitled Aged to Satisfaction. It was about aging men and women and how they have low levels of sexual function and appetite as they came into their 40s. Dr. Ruth, Suzanne Summers, were special guest interviews, along with many other psychologists and sex therapists. The funny thing is that not one mentioned body image, diet, or exercise. Not one. They talked about hormones, menopause, and low blood flow in men, prostate problems. They talked about Viagra, sex toys, different variations of positions. Basically, it was about selling products. But that really blew my mind. I'm writing notes on this. I thought this will be a great SNU. And I just cannot believe that not one of them spoke about exercise.
Well, I think that there's a concern for being politically correct. Now, let's face it. Let's ask 100 men what fascinates them or turns them on when it comes to their sexual appetite. And I guarantee not 100%. But the majority of men are going to tell you that they are visually stimulated, first and foremost. Like Cialis and Viagra are useless if you don't have the desire. So what kicks in the desire? A man is attracted to what he sees first, like bees are to flowers and colors. Mm-hmm. It's that simple, the birds and the bees stuff.
Yeah.
Now, certainly we know that some people like to make love with the lights out, but most men like to see the merchandise. They're stimulated visually. And there's a lot of women that are too, but not necessarily all of them. So it's a personal issue, isn't it, dear?
I guess what you're saying is that you like to keep the lights on.
Absolutely. Why turn
Anyways,
them off?
Anyways, okay, let's not go there, shall we? Okay, this isn't about you and me, honey. Although maybe the folks want to hear about it, but you're not going to hear about it. Okay, the 40-somethings that were being interviewed did mention that they didn't feel like they had a nice body and that they did when they were 20 years old. And I was very surprised that physical activity and exercise wasn't a component of the show. But didn't Dr. Colgan again say in last month's interview that muscle is the health engine?
Absolutely.
And we know that muscle atrophies if we don't use it.
Yeah, use it or lose it, baby.
So I believe that if you have a strong-looking body that is well-nourished, you will feel more inspired to develop the sexual aspect of your being. Nicely put, huh?
Very nicely put, dear.
But I know for me, I cannot believe in my life, and I always say this since I met you, because I had a horrible diet before I met you. I was exercising, and I was taking all the supplements that you could possibly imagine, like I do today, but I didn't have the diet down. And really, the whole food diet is amazing. It really, really works to keep you lean and to keep you well.
It's completely underestimated. People don't believe it. They think it's too simple. They can't think that it's that simple, but it is. If you eat whole fresh food on a regular daily basis, lifelong, you won't get fat. You won't deteriorate. Now, there is some slight, subtle deterioration, obviously, as we're aging in this vacuum called
especially
life.
Especially if women have babies. You know, if
we
you
live
have
in an atmosphere
kids,
of oxygen.
We're being,
the force of entropy is working on all
and
of us.
Stress.
However, if you stay lean, strong, vibrant, and take care of the body, this vessel that you're living in, it will last longer, it will serve you well, and it will do its work. It will do its job.
I was in Winnipeg, and I was at this community center, and there was a lot of aged senior citizens there. Very nice people. But the thing is, I look at them, and they're all walking around on their canes and their hearing aids, and they're all over. Every single one of them is overweight.
Yes.
And I look at them, and I think, what kind of life did you have? I mean, you're here today. They were all having rehab. They all had, like, their personal trainers or their coaches or some consultant with them. And I just looked at them. I said, you know, I don't want to be like that. I do not want to look like that when I'm 70 years old.
That's exactly what I said to myself at the age of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and for the rest of my life. I saw it then. I looked at people around me. I thought, that is not the state that I want to be in. But I didn't know until I learned through education that it was possible to actually keep an incredibly lean, vibrant, strong frame your entire life. I thought, because everyone else around me believed this, that you lose control, that you're an innocent victim, that you become prey from nature, and that you just lose all the value that you are as you get old.
Well, I mean, when I was teaching dancing at 20 years old, and I'd have some of my students were 40, 45, I was thinking, that's old. They looked old.
Yes.
They were old. You know, they weren't old chronologically, but biologically they were. And I just thought, oh boy, turning 40. But it does not have to happen.
Right. And again, we don't confuse this with being a criticism.
No.
We're not criticizing people. We have family, friends, and colleagues that are fat and out of shape, deconditioned, that don't follow anything that we promote, and we love them.
Yep.
They're part of our family.
We don't really care.
We wish them well. We want everyone that we know and love to be well. We hate disease. We hate what it does to people. However, we accept people as they are.
But in
our own bodies, I look at them in my mind and think, I don't want to look and feel like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do what it takes not to look and feel like that. And what is that? What do you have to do to stay well, to avoid the accumulation of excess body fat and this disease in the body? What do we have to do?
Now, I take a look at these people and I think to myself, because this is the topic that we're talking about today, is the fact of, are these people still having sex? Now, if they can't walk properly and they're really overweight, and the weight that they have carrying them is holding them back for walking, I don't think there's going too much on in the bedroom aspect of it. But nonetheless, I have found that through when I do lectures, I really enjoy lecturing to seniors. They're the funnest group to lecture. You can talk about anything. They're really open-minded. Mind you, they are the most medicated group of the whole lot.
Yeah, and a lot of those medications destroy sexual function.
Yes.
Destroy sexual appetite.
Yes.
High blood pressure medication
right.
for one.
Right.
Heart medications. It's unbelievable.
But we're talking about here, this group that was being interviewed on this age to satisfaction.
That were not 60 and 70.
These people were in their 40s. And it was...
Oh, that's old.
And it was...
Ooh.
But I know. But you know what? When I saw them on TV, I got, these people look old.
Yes.
And they're only in their 40s.
Older than their day.
40s are not old, folks.
Now, maybe 40 was old, you know, 500 years ago when
yes.
people died at 35.
Yes.
And the only reason they died then was because lack of food. People, for the last 100,000 years genetically, have been able to live just as long as we have today. If the environment is conducive to longevity and you have access to food and water and medication to survive nature, then you can live to 80 to 100 to 120. But the reason we live short and die long today is because we are definitely over-medicated and we are deconditioned and we're eating incorrectly. There's no logic to the science of
right.
the nutrition that people are following.
But I also do understand that when they were talking about sex toys, different variations and positions and all that kind of stuff, you know, you got to be in shape to be.
It's all a distraction. It's complete distraction.
Yeah.
And they're selling Viagra. They're selling drugs. That's part of it as
Great.
Well.
So we know people who do Viagra and they're 30 years old.
Absolutely.
Whatever. Nonetheless, the point is stay well. In your body, mind, and soul. Stay well in your mind. Stay well in your body. Eat whole food. Then you've got healthy blood running through your veins. And it'll run through every aspect of your body.
And remember, the mind is also affected by the body.
Yes.
Your physical body is deteriorating. That means part of your physical body, your brain, is being affected.
And sex is healthy. It's part of your, it's part of our makeup.
Not only healthy, it's but by necessity essential to the continuation
and
of the species.
Apparently it's one of the oldest professions in the world. And
what, the sexual trade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And there's sex everywhere. Sex sells. So, I mean, if you're only 40 and it ain't happening for you, there's something wrong with you.
Right. So, again, so face the music on that one and go to a physician and get some tests done or else just do some basic homework and understand that your lack of sexual vitality is a barometer, is a thermostat that your overall health is moving away from its ideal state. So this is a good idea to keep in mind. And you know, use
and
it or lose
dirty.
It again.
It's not dirty. I mean, sometimes people think, oh, sex, what, it's disgusting, it's dirty. You see, now if you have an attitude like that, that's not healthy either. So we need to get on the right plane here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and no more about sex. Okay, we'll stop right now.
Okay.
Because that's Corey's favorite topic.
Yeah. Well, sex is natural, sex is fun. Right?
Yeah. What's the next part?
Sex is better when it's
one-on-one.
One.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that's open to discussion, but that's for another SNU. Okay, dear. So that was a great he said, she said, and hot topic. Let's finish off with your final word.
My final word is by Aristotle. We live in deeds, not in years. In thoughts, not breaths. In feelings, not in figures on a dial. We should count time by heart throbs. He most lives who thinks most, feels the noblest, acts the best.